You're listening to HG 101, a proud part of the Greenlit Podcast Network. Hey there, loyal listeners. As you know, the Top Games Podcast is made possible by Hardcore Gaming 101's Patreon supporters, who help keep this show alive by donating as little as $2 each month. If you were to join them in doing that, you would not only help keep the lights on at HG 101 Towers, you'd also get access to our super secret Patreon RSS feed, which is full of ad-free versions of this podcast with exclusive bonus game rankings. Here's a taste of what you've been missing. The game we're talking about is Alone in the Dark, 2008. This isn't the Alone in the Dark I was thinking about.
Once you get into Central Park, it actually becomes a sandbox game.
How accurate is the depiction of Central Park?
Remember a time when a sandbox map the size of Central Park was considered big enough?
It definitely feels big enough in this game, too. Because you have to drive in the car, it becomes a 50-50 chance that you will accidentally propel yourself off a cliff.
One time I remember I was driving in this game and I drove over a curb and basically the entire car's suspension just flew off.
That sounds like Central Park. Go to patreon.com/HG101 and pledge a couple bucks. That's patreon.com/HG101. Act now and be a hero.
For some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge, a lane maintained with a course aimed at colleges. To HG 101, we give the honor, thanks to Kirk, a lot of Xerxes to host it proper, as well as Tatanga, Cal and Bobinata, Booker Hart and others discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and look, they wrote a book about it, go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease. and add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, but just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames. Dog's power. Hey,
dog's power. Hey, dog's power. Hey, dog's power. Gotcha!
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. For this episode, we're going to be talking about Pac-Man 2, The New Adventures. And this game was developed by Namco and published by Namco for the Super Nintendo and for the Sega Genesis, I believe, both. Earliest release date and territory is August 26, 1994, for those lucky people in Japan who got it first. It was nominated by Panic Restaurant on Apple Podcasts. That sounds like a fun game. Who's with me to talk about Pac-Man 2, The New Adventures?
I am Word on the Wind.
I'm the Great Clade.
And I'm Ubersaurus.
And Ubersaurus, can we call you by your other name?
Yes, call me Kevin.
Sorry, I got used to calling you Kevin. Kevin, what do you do? Where might people know you from?
So I do the YouTube series Atari Archive, where I am going through every Atari 2600 game in chronological order. And digging into sort of the context of each game, historically speaking, and, you know.
Yeah!
Wow! And, all 2,600 of them?
It's probably more than that.
I'm just kind of over here going, like, how do you know which one came first? Some of those have to have questionable as hell dates.
Yeah, some of them do. It's a lot of research. A lot of digging through old newspapers and
being
magazines. Yeah.
What are you doing here?
Yeah. Let's just say Jack Tramiel is on speed dial. It's a great, so if you, if, for example, if you're familiar with, say, I'd say Jeremy Parrish's various works channels, like the NES Works, Super NES Works, those are, I think, are, he's not ashamed to say, inspired a little bit by Atari Archives. So you're out there doing good work that gets noticed by good people, and now you're on our show.
Woo! Where did you go wrong?
Yes, something. things just
hardcore gaming 101. These guys must be really educational and thorough on talking, and they have a podcast.
So, if you want to hear, me and Kevin were on an episode of Retronauts recently with Jeremy Parrish and with Kurt Collada, site founder, publisher emeritus, etc. And we were talking about the kind of lesser known, unsung Castlevania games that aren't pachinko. So, it's a really good episode, and it's definitely worth checking out. And yeah, so without further ado, I guess we just get right into Pac-Man 2.
Yeah, the sequel to everybody's favorite maze-running, ball-eating, ghost-dodging game.
Before we get into that, I want to say, like, doesn't this game have a different title in Japan?
Doki Doki Panic, I believe.
It does, and I can never remember it off the top of my head.
Yes, that's why I panicked and just went with Doki Doki Panic.
Panic Restaurant is up to no good.
There we go. Hello, Pac-Man.
No, Panic Man.
Yeah, in Japan. Yeah, you're right. Hello, Pac-Man.
Hello, Pac-Man. Oh, I feel dirty doing that.
Yeah, that's exactly how the
prequel to Hey You Pikachu.
Exactly.
Hello, Pac-Man. Hey, you Pikachu.
Yeah.
You know, I guess they do have some things in common.
Yeah, they're both infuriating for the same reason.
Actually, hold on. Wait a second. We might be onto something here, guys.
Oh, no. I've got a better comparison to make, but I'm waiting a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. Don't blow the good stuff, because we got a lot of Pac-Man 2. So before we go, like, this is a game where when I ask Kevin, hey, Kevin, you want to be on the show? Why don't you look at the list of upcoming games and see what tickles your fancy? And Kevin's like, well, I could do Pac-Man 2. And I got to admit, like, that raised a lot of questions. Like, just.
I mean, this was my very first Super Nintendo game.
I was going to ask somebody named Kevin, but.
No, I'm saying, I mean, I know his pain right now, so I'm curious.
Okay, yeah, okay, sorry.
I actually really liked this game. Like, I read about it in Nintendo Power, and I'm like, oh, that sounds interesting. And then I rented it and ran through it in a weekend and rented it a few more times. Then my aunt got the Genesis version, and I played the heck out of it at her place, so I really liked it.
I mean, it. Like, I think people kind of forget that there was still, like, a lot of residual love for Pac-Man, even in 1994. Like, when they would put out games, like, stuff now that nobody really checks out anymore because they're ports of arcade games that you can easily emulate, like Frogger or something, or even Space Invaders on the Game Boy and all that. Like, that was kind of, those sold pretty well, I think, for the most part. So, like, even a lot of these old games still had a lot of love for them, and Pac-Man was one of them. And I would be surprised if this game didn't sell pretty well.
Well, I can, because I'm now curious when that Miss Pac-Man port came to the Genesis.
Yeah, that, well, yeah, there's that.
I mean, well, because, I not to get too much into it, but I wonder if this didn't half sell because you can just play Pac-Man on it.
So, let me just go around, like, when anybody tells you the game is called Pac-Man 2, like, what were you thinking it was going to be?
Pac-Man, again.
It's like, it's not, like, it's, you've got your Pac-Man, you got your Ms. Pac-Man.
Yeah,
a blow for women's lib. You've got
thinking.
You've got a billion Midway Pac-Man games.
Yep, you've got let's see, the weird bootleg Pac-Mans. You've got the hacked Ms. Pac-Man that is probably more common than the actual Ms. Pac-Man. You've got baby Pac-Man, which had the pinball machine attached to it, or. Not really sure.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's it. And then there was Super Pac-Man, right?
Yeah, that was the Namco one. It's not very good.
What's that one Pac-Man that's on, like, the isometric angle? I always forget the name of that. It's like
Pac-Mania?
Hmm?
Pac-Mania?
That might be Pac-Mania. I think that sounds about right in my head.
Which is the one where he's got the little feathered cap?
I think it's Pac-Land, right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
That's okay. The one that's kind of loosely based on the crappy cartoon.
The crappy cartoon.
The first crappy cartoon. My mistake.
Pac World is the super, or not the super, the PlayStation game where it's like a collectathon.
Oh, yeah, it's Pac-Man World. Yeah, those are later.
Yeah.
So they weren't.
Not much.
It's interesting, though. You mentioned something, Kevin, that the first Namco proper sequel was Super Pac-Man?
Yeah, and it was a weird game where you were like flying. It's a maze game, but, like, you're trying to eat keys and open doors to eat fruit, and you can get a power pellet that lets you fly over the ghosts.
Right. You can jump over the boundaries, right, in the maze?
If you're quote unquote flying.
Yeah. So that's what's interesting to know is like, so when the first Pac-Man sequel of sorts, although it does seem to be like canon in this game, oddly enough, would be Ms. Pac-Man. And that was not made by Namco. I think we talked about that in our Ms. Pac-Man episode like 40 years ago. But so go back and listen to that if you haven't. There's a Junior Pac-Man.
Oh, I forgot that's both a baby Pac-Man and a Junior Pac-Man.
But it's not the same Junior Pac-Man that's on the Genesis version of Pac-Man 2, which was really confusing when I was younger.
So that's another one that was developed by Bally Midway and Atari, apparently. Pac-Pal is Namco. I don't know. This is probably not nearly as interesting as we think it is.
I'm just kind of wondering, are you just like trying to not talk about this game as much as possible?
Oh, we want the fall to come hard. We're like, look how much we made for Pac-Man sequels.
We're just trying this is a game that delves deep into Pac-Man lore. And so we want to make sure that the canonical stage has been set.
If you thought
Pac-Man was canon, buddy, have you got some news coming? Because it is not. There's a bunch of other games that are. And then, Pac-Land is 1984. And then there's a bunch of other stuff. There's Pac-Man VR 96. That's post this one. It looks like the last Pac-Man game before this one would be, although arcade game would be Pac-Mania. I'm sure there's like a billion console games.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is that none of this matters. It's like, you'd think that all those games, right, for the most part, including the one that had a pinball machine grafted to the bottom of it, were still very much like Pac-Man with a little twist, except for Pac-Land, I think, and maybe some others that nobody remembers. But Pac-Land is the big departure. That was a platformer. It predates Super Mario Brothers by a little bit. And it's not great. I mean, it's great for like what they attempted to do and like the vision behind it. It's not a great game, but it's an interesting and an important one. But other than that, everything else was like kind of like they were maze games one way or another. So I think when I heard, if you told me I was going to be able to play Pac-Man 2, because I didn't play this when it was out, something about Pac-Man on a hang glider, scared for his life, apparently, that was in the box cover, just like didn't exude the kind of confidence I wanted in my Pac-Man. I was just like, not my Pac-Man. My Pac-Man is brave and he's out getting pack chicks and stuff. I would assume it would be something like that. I would probably picture something a little bit like something in between, like one of the Pac-Man remakes, the fancy ones, and then say like Pac-Man Championship Edition. Like not quite that crazy, but something around that along those lines. Like it's got mazes plus some, floop whistles and bling wads and stuff. And that's not this game at all. What this game is it's like...
It's a cartoon.
It's like an interactive cartoon that kind of listens to you. It's like quasi, I don't know.
I would describe it as a puzzle game mixed with managing the emotional state of a five-year-old.
Okay, really quick, because I just thought of something. You all have had those people who like shout, or the people who shout at the movie and go, no, don't go in that door.
Yeah, what if they kind of listen to you sometimes?
Yeah, that's this game.
No, don't get left on that hang glider. No, don't get in that mine cart. Oh,
except you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's not even, like, it's even worse than that because your primary form of communication and interface is a slingshot.
Yeah, you fling things at Pac-Man or the world around him, and that's how you make stuff happen sometimes.
Pac-Man will go about his merry day performing his daily chores. I'm not joking. First mission is get a bottle of milk. Good luck with that. And we'll just kind of go around and do his thing and inevitably die due to his own lack of self-awareness and preservation. Unless you happen to slingshot things in his local environment correctly to achieve a desired result. Right. And through this slingshot, firing high-speed rocks... high velocity rocks in his general area, he might take exception to some of this, particularly when you hit him directly, which you need to do at times. And the more pissed off he gets, the less likely he is to listen to you.
Luckily, they made him a real smug bastard, so you don't feel like guilty about that at all.
Oh, geez.
Kevin, what appealed to you about this game as a kid? Because you liked it. So,
well, like you said, it's like a cartoon. So, on one hand, you want to solve the puzzles and sort of figure out how to do things. And on the other hand, you just want to mess with Pac-Man in such like complex ways.
Oh, gee.
To punish his hubris.
Are you saying that this is the closest we'll ever get to Duck Amuck?
Oh, like the cartoon where like Daffy Duck is being tormented by
yes.
an animator. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
You're going downtown and Pac-Man wants a hot dog, and if you just leave it into his own devices, a cat will come and steal it and he gets really sad.
Can't the cat kill him?
Yes. If you shoot the cat, it will attack Pac-Man. Like if you don't time it right. So what I like to do is I would have him like go to get the hot dog, then I'd shoot the hot dog guy so he'd get mad and squirt Pac-Man with ketchup, so that would normally kill Pac-Man, but then I'd get the cat to come and attack Pac-Man too. And
I could see how a little kid would really enjoy this, actually.
Yeah, me as like an 11-year-old thought this was the height of comedy in a video game.
Yeah, I could see that.
That's what you get for stealing my quarters.
Yeah, it is. Okay, I could kind of see the appeal of that. Like, so yeah, it's kind of like a point-and-click adventure game, but it's on like a side-scrolling-ish plane. You can't like go into like the background or foreground or anything like that. And instead of pointing and clicking at things, as we said, you like throw rocks at things. And then that creates an effect, and then that hopefully does what you want it to do. And it's kind of like a puzzle game. It's a little bit like the game we talked about maybe a couple months ago, Goblins. With three eyes, which is an Amiga adventure game,
a far more controllable game.
Yeah, but it's a typical point and click type game, but it's a similar thing where you're like kind of figure out what happens. It feels a lot like that for some reason because it's that's a very well animated game.
I can
see
that comparison.
Yeah, but unlike that, it's more like you're like the god of Pac-Land, but you're like not like a super powerful god. You're just like a god who has the power to throw rocks.
Could you imagine if you had like full on god powers, like lightning bolts and stuff in this game?
What's the advert for this? How much do you hate Pac-Man?
Right?
Again, the game does not do a great... If the game is trying to make you feel sympathy for Pac-Man, it does not do a great job.
Oh, especially not when he enters some girl's house, she asks him for help moving her couch, and he... like repeatedly ass slams on the surface of the couch.
Yeah, he just bounces on it.
Just pelvic thrusting on it. And then he gets up and walks with the biggest, smuggest, goose-stepping grin on his face.
I am helping.
Yeah, that's what I like. You have to manage his emotional state because sometimes he's just not going to be useful. Like in that sequence, if he's like feeling himself too much, yeah, he just jumps around on the couch and leaves.
Yeah, so.
But like if he's feeling mopey, he'll just like turn around and go out the door anyway.
And that's like why you have to get him like the stuff he wants, right? Like,
yeah, you have to make him happy, but not too happy. Like,
he gets too happy, it gets crazy and dark.
Yes.
I don't actually know. I had no interest in it.
There's a secret level where he totally gets a gun and he shoots a guy and he becomes Doom.
No, I think it just becomes like, oh my God, what did I do? And like the Pac cops are coming after him. He's like, got to hide the weapon, like dispose of the body.
Man, Pac-Man like, 3 was
throw rocks over here. Come on, no.
Pac-Man 3 was going to be a sweet game.
Yeah, this could really have gone places. I would have really liked to see that. But instead, it doesn't go anywhere. It goes three specific adventures, I think. That's as far as I got. It was four?
Yeah.
Oh, I did that thing again where like I give up in disgust and just assume I gotten to the end of the game.
You start scrolling some credits in front of your face. There we go. We're all good now.
So the first mission is you've got to get a bottle of milk. Babies typically need more than one bottle, usually in a day, but you just need one. So you got to go get it. And you get it like at the end. I think, as I recall, I had to go milk a cow.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's like a lot of misadventures that happen along the way. And so the next adventure is you gotta bring flowers to your neighbor Lucy. That's a deep cut for Pac-Man fans. Everybody remembers Lucy, right?
Yeah, sure.
Uh-huh. Remember Lucy?
Oh yeah.
The non-Pac person who's just a human because there's like she lives next to like a giant ball monster, I guess, and his family, and that's totally normal.
I will say that the opening of that mission is one of my favorites because like it starts off with Pac-Man just watching TV, having a good time, and then Ms. Pac-Man walks in and tells him to go up to a mountaintop to get a flower, and he just has this like depressed look on his face, like oh no,
he's the most not again character in all of video games. I feel so bad.
You got it. Yeah, this is like Hawk-Io territory, right? Where you're dealing with like somebody's got some axe to grind against somebody that they're married to.
Yeah, right?
You know, it's like
he has a bootleg wife.
And it's the entire Pac-Man 2 team, apparently.
Yeah.
It's yes. Like, somebody on that whole team had a real problem with everything in their world. Cows kill them. Hay kills them.
The whole thing is a baffling ordeal from start to finish. There's a witch. Everybody remembers the witch from Pac-Man, right? You remember that witch?
Yep, from the cartoon, yeah.
She's from the cartoon?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, this is based on the cartoon.
So why doesn't he have the jaunty little Robin Hood hat?
I mean, it's been 8 years.
Why doesn't he wear it? Oh, that's true.
Styles have changed.
He's got to grow up sometime. Does he still talk like this?
A family?
Is that what he talked like in the cartoon?
I mean, his voice clips for what they are like. So I'm going to guess yes.
Does have a very Toad-esque voice, huh?
Why did it take them so... Namco's like, Ms. Pac-Man, what is that garbage? Now, we're going to embrace this terrible cartoon that was animated by a porpoise.
we can't have a cartoon voiced entirely by dolphins.
I'll have you know I am, in fact, not a porpoise, so you cannot make me laugh while I'm drinking water!
Wait, what was that? I thought someone was like doing like a porpoise thing. I'm like, I don't remember.
No, I was choking on my water because you made me laugh, you asshole.
We killed
one. Sorry. Look, I only live to entertain. I mean, I can't be held accountable for who's like driving a car, operating heavy machinery while I'm spitting out my comedy gold.
So since this is based on the cartoon, how come there's not a mission where Pac-Man has to go out and get another like carton of cigarettes to smoke that day?
Baby Pac-Man's doing that. Go out and get Pac-Dad some smokes. The whole thing. I mean, but Pac-Man himself seems to not be, as Kevin said, does not seem to be like a very mature adult Pac person.
He's a very neurotic fellow.
It's kind of like, this is going to be a deep cut for some people who were not born yet when this show was on, but it doesn't seem that long ago to me. There's a reality television show about Ozzy Osbourne and his family, and this game kind of reminds me of that, except it's like there's no family grounding Ozzy Osbourne, and he's like instead just like wandering around aimlessly, and he's not off drugs yet.
So
it's like it's just like a confused man child, like wandering around, bumping into things, getting into trouble, negotiating things like hot dogs. And then sometimes their ghosts attack him and you got to shoot a pellet at him so he can turn into Super Pac-Man and kill them.
We cannot forget, though, that the first puzzle of this game is he has to avoid human contact by dropping a pile of hay on a man.
You know, it's relatable.
Why right? Does he have to do that again?
Because he just won't go near the farmer. So you go near him or something, and he's like,
I can't go near him. He'll know.
He'll milk me.
What will he know, Pac-Man? He'll know, damn it. He'll know.
Pac-Man is
covered in bugs.
It's a weird family of aliens on the run.
Well, he's just going to like milk his cow.
Well, yes, that helps.
And give his child unpasteurized cow milk.
Well, we don't know the digestion of Pac-Man.
Paragon of virtue, Pac-Man.
This is probably okay.
Like, I feel kind of like Pac-Man went to the Yogi Bear school of morality.
The nun?
You know, this is a very,
everything,
like...
nunnery? Every piece of food that I see is acceptable to be stolen by me.
Man, I felt guilty for, like, referencing the Osbournes, and you're going, like, remember Yogi Bear?
Well,
this is a very Hanna-Barbera-esque.
I'm trying to play Pac-Man and he won't listen to a thing I say.
Would the kids these days like remember the one with like Justin Timberlake, the movie version?
Well, thanks for reminding me that happened.
Yep, I did.
Who?
Oh, God.
Anyway, so Pac-Man 2, the new adventures. So yeah, you get on a hang glider, you collect some flowers some reason.
I need to expand on the hang glider thing, because Pac-Man does not actually know how to use the damn thing correctly. Remember that slingshot? You have to shoot Pac-Man in the ass so he flinches just right and actually will make, like, tilt the hang glider so it will ascend, so he doesn't just fall straight down. Firing sharp projectiles at an entity in a hang glider, a thing made of fabric.
This isn't a bad idea. You shoot him to make him drop, and then
was it make him drop?
You can order him to ascend, and he'll.
Oh, is that
to
what
you.
It is? It's been a while.
This game would make a lot more sense if it were a light gun game.
You know,
kind of.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah,
like then
it
at least
make it, a lot more sense if it didn't have a like. This is me forgetting again. Doesn't this game have like lives, a live structure?
No,
thankfully no.
Okay, I know it has limited power pellets, but I forgot if it had lives or not.
You get the power pellets back if you die, as I recall.
Yeah, like you're given three of them and you have to, like, you know, manage your Pac-Man, you know, all day.
There are some trees you can shoot them to get more pellets.
Oh, yeah. I remember that part.
Yeah, he's got one in his yard. I know that.
Yes.
I think there's one in the forest near where the hang glider is.
Yes, right before, something like that. But no, I got stuck on this game for many, 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 many years on that stupid hang glider.
It's one of the, really, really hard.
It's one of the few cartridges I still own from back when I was like 7 because I was never going to give up on this game. I was going to beat it one of these days. Still have it. It's a very hard game.
It's not worth it either.
No.
How far did you get, Kevin?
I finished the game a few times. The hang glider was annoying, but what killed me was the minecarts. Like, the minecarts, they're all, like, memorization, and if you die, it's not even, like, anything funny and cartoony. It's just, he's dead.
Here's a deep cut for you, Xerxes. Have you played Fantastic Adventure Dizzy?
Yes.
You know those minecart sections? Make that mandatory.
No.
They're not mandatory in Fantasy World Dizzy?
Yeah.
Wait a second, is this game just a remake of Fantasy World Dizzy? It's a sphere with some legs and arms?
It does feel a little bit like that, but again, like, Dizzy has agency in a way that Pac-Man doesn't. Pac-Man is basically just a slave to the Pac-Id, and he, like, follows, like, wherever, like...
I think you use that word right.
What?
No, I really want to see, like, an in-depth, like, panel about Pac-Man 2 and psychology.
If Pac-Man's deepest, darkest desires are, I'm gonna go hang gliding, and I'm gonna go kill a farmer for milk... Wait, no, that actually is the...
Yeah, I don't understand the whole, like, you've got to hang glide to the top of a mountain to get flowers for some human lady who's your neighbor.
He's like, a nice man. He's a
no,
slave
I think,
to Miss
I think
Pac-Man.
What this is, because he doesn't want to do it. Pac-Man wants to just sit down and watch SportsCenter or whatever it is, and his nagging wife, Ms. Pac-Man, who hasn't changed her name to Mrs., because she's like, I think...
I want to keep my name, damn it.
I'm keeping my name, Ms.
I don't know. Maybe that's his sister.
That's even worse.
It just gets even darker. It's like not even his kid.
He's crashing at his sister's place.
This is making this even better.
Oh, wait,
you know,
no,
he hasn't worked since 1987. You gotta cut his slack. It's
like, yeah, actually.
He was popular once, and then all the pretenders showed up.
Look.
It was his house. He lost it. His sister's like, okay, we have to take care of him. So she moved her family into it and keeps trying to get Pac-Man to go do stuff instead of being a shiftless bum.
Look, I've been a fruit collector. I have been an adjunct professor. I want to retire.
So,
get me some smokes, kid.
So writing Pac-Man fan fiction is pretty great and all, but I don't know if there's really much else we can say about this. Is there?
I think what the way to make this game better for me would just be like it's automatic. Like when you die, you're just dead, and then you find out that Ms. Pac-Man insured your life for a surprisingly high amount.
That's actually the fifth adventure. It was never translated, so they dummied it out of our cartridges.
Yeah, it's just...
But we should mention that this game does, like I kind of alluded to earlier, this game has a couple of the arcade versions of Pac-Man in it, and it's probably, like I said, I was wondering if... Because I think that got advertised pretty heavily on one of the versions. It's like, you can play the actual Pac-Man on this.
You can play fun Pac-Man games, too.
Yeah. But they're, like, really hard to find collectibles for, like, Miss Pac-Man.
Yeah, you need three cartridges to play Ms. Pac-Man, and there's one in the mountain, there's one under that girl's couch, and the third one is in the city, and I don't remember exactly where.
It's astounding that you just have that memorized.
I played this game a lot.
I am impressed, really. I had to have to. But the other thing is, and why I know there's a Genesis version of this game, because I grew up playing the Super Nintendo, is they both have different arcade games.
The Genesis one has Pac-Man Jr., which is like a remix of Ms. Pac-Man, as opposed to being actually Junior Pac-Man. And it's really weird and not quite as good, but like I've kind of come around to it over the years. Like, okay, this is all right.
What does the... That's the only one it has?
No.
They both have normal Pac-Man.
It's like one or two games or something, like one of them is different on each version. So, yeah, it's strange. But yeah, no, if you want to play Pac-Man, this might be the best way to do it, really, in 1994.
I don't know if I can agree with that. Like, it's... Look, okay, so, yeah, we got to rank it. But I think we got to, like, explain, like, is there any... Aside from the fact that it's fun for kids to, like, torment a Pac-Man, which I agree, I definitely didn't think of it that way, but I probably would have loved that if I were the right age for it.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, like, is there like anything else that's like laudable about this game?
Like, there's nothing like this game, to be honest. I haven't stopped.
Yes, there is.
All right, wait.
Thing I was going to.
Go ahead.
There is a game that was released 3 months later called Wonder Project J. You may have heard of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did a whole damn podcast about it.
Uh-huh. That was the most Northeastern I've ever heard you sound, Xerxes. Oh, yeah, I did a whole damn podcast about it, see?
Wherein you do a very similar thing of you have to kind of like guide as opposed to directly control a, you know, otherwise self-realized entity.
Right.
However, Pino, the character in Wonder Project J, will actually listen to what you like say is a good thing to do, unless you say, you know, okay, stop doing that. In which case, he'll start trying to figure things out.
He's a child, a robo-child, but a child no less.
Yes, he's basically a Pinocchio stand-in.
Right. So it makes sense that he's a little snot, right? Like, it's like you can make him bad or good. Like, it depends on, like, if you punish him for no reason, he'll turn into a real, like, bastard. You
he'll
know?
Turn
like,
into a raving jackass because you hit him with a hammer for no reason.
Yeah, you did it to him. Whereas you're coming in Pac-Man's life. If you're the god of Pac-Land, right? Like, you have been seriously derelict in your duties, like, because Pac-Man is not in a good place. So it's like, and he's clearly still, like, at Wonder Project J, like, starting stage of morality. He'll just do whatever.
It's like Pac-Job, really. We're finally showing him the hubris of his ways.
But this is before Wonder Project J.
It is. It was released 3 months before, which makes me wonder if someone heard about this, like saw like promotional material about it and went, hey, there's an idea. Let's do it better.
I gotta say, like, the Japanese cover for this game has Pac-Man on the hang glider, of course, but he looks really happy to be doing it. And it has him in the mine cart, and then it has him like doing the super thing, superhero costume. It looks like he loves his family. In a way, it's like a less accurate cover, but it does look like a lot more fun of a game.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it reminds me, it shows him in the like creepy like biomass factory.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, the gum monster. So, like, the ghosts, if I remember right, are stealing used chewing gum.
Yes.
And they're making, like, a living creature out of it, and, like, that's the final boss fight, is you have to help Pac-Man kill it.
Is the stuff in that lab or factory, that's gum?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was, like pulped organs or something gross, like...
That's a lot darker.
That's what happens
than
to
I
all
think
the
this game's willing to go.
It looked vaguely like Contra-esque, right?
Like, are you saying that there's like a Pac-Man factory in the same manner that there is a Leisure Suit Larry factory sitting underneath the levels?
Yes, that's actually this is the one Pac-Man that's gone rogue, and that biomass factory is all the ones that have been dying in the mazes.
But like in a sense, like right, so they took like we're going to do an adventure game, but it's not going to be like the kind of adventure game you're used to, and it's going to innovate in the same way like Pac-Man was an innovation, and Pac-Man was an innovation, and they did that. Can't say they didn't.
I've thought about it almost at least yearly since I played it. It's stuck in my brain. It's such a bizarre game for everything we've mentioned. Not even just like novelty of like gameplay alone, but all the incredibly stupid little things in there. Like your family seems to hate you, and he's scared of everything, and the hot dog.
I know, I was really disappointed that the next Pac-Man game after this was just like a mascot platformer, because I was like, oh,
it was
man.
Pac in Time, which I think wasn't even originally a Pac-Man game, wasn't it? Wasn't it based on something else?
That sounds right.
Okay, I have a placement for this, which I want to throw out there. Simply by virtue of the enjoyment of the title, I want to put this right below I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream.
Which is like, I have a huge mouth and I must scream. Yeah, die or something? Like, I don't know.
I feel like this is, like, the same degree of, you know, approachability.
I have a huge mouth and I want to watch TV, damn it.
I bought this TV shaped like me. I will watch it.
I will watch it.
Do you know how expensive this was to get? Not terribly, it's only a sphere.
You know, that you make a compelling argument.
All right, so...
So that put it at $4.91.
Like, there's another, like, so the game that I was thinking of for some reason would be a game that I don't think we've mentioned for quite some time, which is why I'm having trouble remembering what it's called. It is, Haunting, starring Polterguy.
Oh, that one. Where is that?
It's not exactly this. It's not even really even remotely the same, but for some reason it reminded me of it. I guess because it felt like you were manipulating some, you know, like... Yeah, for all we know, Polterguy is the guy who's shooting the rocks at Pac-Man. Like,
Yeah.
But it's not on the SNES version, only the Mega Drive.
You know, it's another example of like a like an innovative concept about like a disembodied spirit that torments strangers. And but it's like that one is much more like a like in this game, like if what if like instead of that, like number one, make it a light gun game, because why not? And number two, like I would do it so like you're like the ghost, like you're like the ghost that Pac-Man has consumed and banished to the netherworld or something, and you're getting your revenge, and you're just your job is to just scare the hell out of Pac-Man, and it'd be like marrying these two concepts. It'd be really good. I mean, it would be really good. It'd be okay, but like the, you know what I mean?
It'd be
like,
the greatest game of all time.
Maybe you're a ghost who's trying to be better, but you also just really hate Pac-Man. So, like, you're helping him, but you're making him suffer.
Your job is to make other people's, deserving people's lives better, and then to torment Pac-Man until he just gives up on life.
Yeah, I hope.
So, anyway, Haunting starring Poltergeist. Where is that one? That's
it was 457, I think I said it was. 458. Yeah.
So, Kevin, do you think this we're lowballing this? Do you think there's, like, some charm to this or something that is...
I mean, I really like the game, and, you know, it is one of my favorite games of that time period, but also looking at the list of things you've ranked, it's really hard for me to say that it's better than, like, you know, Jack Brothers or Pulse Man. So, right. You know, I think you could make a case.
Yeah.
Counterpoint, we have Rampage at 443. This game is so much better than Rampage.
Counterpoint... Live-A-Live got thrown in at 467, and Live-A-Live is a way better game than this in every way.
The list disagrees. We're not ranking the games that are already on the list. We're ranking Pac-Man 2, the new adventure.
I'm just countering Clade's argument.
Well, so, you know, I think you could say that it's better than Krull.
I think it's better than Krull.
Which one's that one?
456.
Cruising USA, Hammer and Harry, Ghost Building Company, Goof Troop, Mortal Kombat.
I don't know that it's better than Goof Troop, but it's really fun.
I would put it above Hammer and Harry, Ghost Building Company, because there's better Hammer and Harry games out there, whereas this is the best Pac-Man 2. You know what I mean?
What the hell is Miss Pac-Man then?
No, it's the best game called Pac-Man. It's the best game that's like this. It's the best Haro Pac-Man.
And Wonder Project J is better than this.
Yeah, but we haven't ranked it yet, and we know we would rank that one higher. It's like just like...
I know, that's what I'm saying. I'm agreeing.
And that puts it above Haunting starring Poltergeist, by the way.
That's true.
And this is why I suggested putting it below I Have No Mouth and I'm a Screen. I feel like it provides, you know, a very similar feeling for the player.
I don't know. I've never had to be a Nazi in Pac-Man 2.
Pac-Man screams a lot.
He does. Okay. Well, we can put it between Goof Troop and Hammer and Harry. I'm okay with that.
You're okay with that?
Yep.
I've been throwing my low ball there mostly for comedy. I'm fine with this.
Because, like I said, I've never stopped thinking about this game.
Kevin, any last-minute appeals to reason or sentiment?
Or the god of the slingshot?
Yeah, that's true. Poltergeist?
No, I think that's a good place for it.
So that's where it goes, right below Goof Troop, right above Hammer and Harry, Ghost Building Company for the Game Boy, Pac-Man 2, The New Adventures. Yeah, so there it is. So what's your newest video, Kevin?
So the latest one that's gone up as of this recording is Slot Machine, which is the last game of the 8 they put out in March 79. So right now I'm working on the video for Superman, which is a much more interesting and influential game.
I'll also plug something that we're going to be doing. So if you're a Patreon patron, you're going to be hearing me and Kevin talking about Secret Quest. That's what it's called, right?
Right.
Yeah, it sounds so generic. You always think it's the wrong title, but that's actually it. That is an Atari 2600 game that I think came out in 1989.
Yeah, it's one of the later releases for the system, and it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's like how close can we get to making a Zelda-ish game on the Atari 2600 12 years after it was released? You know, it's like, and I've heard that Nolan Bushnell was in some way involved, or at least that it was his like developer or publisher or something that is sort of responsible for it, like when he re-entered the game industry.
Yeah, he did have a role in putting it together. It's not like he coded it or did like the design, but he came up with the idea.
And like that game, like I believe Slot Machine, they're both available on the Atari Vault collection, which I didn't know existed until very recently. So good job promoting that, Atari. But which is pretty cool, though, because it's got a lot of games, and it has it has Secret Quest on there, and it has the manual, so you'll actually know what the hell you're doing. And so if you want to hear us talk about Secret Quest, you should become a Patreon patron, or don't cancel your membership just yet. One of the two, and you'll hear us talk about Secret Quest in about 2 weeks. So anyway, thanks for listening to us rank Pac-Man 2 The New Adventures, and we'll see you next time. That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our booking agent Jeff Rood, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101. I know I did. By subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GC9X and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HG Discord. But most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.